Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today I get to talk to Jeremy Foley and Sarah O'Reilly. This filmmaking team made The Faceless Man that won the Grand Jury Prize at last year's Sherman Oaks Film Festival, which for the record was 2017. Sarah and Jeremy are one of those real-life married couples who write together, make films together, and honestly, between the two of them, there's so much creativity and so much originality that it's no wonder The Faceless Man turned out so well. There are a lot of spoilers in this interview, so what you should do is go to discoverindiefilm.com and watch The Faceless Man right now, then come back and listen to the interview. Okay, you've been warned. Let's talk to Sarah and Jeremy.
What was I saying? Oh, yes, people have asked us that before. Like, you guys have a, you know, you live together, you are married, you work together.
I didn't realize you lived together. I knew you're married. You live together.
So unconventional.
Going on 10 years now or something.
10 years, congrats.
Bravo. Thank you.
Married for three. But together.
Yeah, living together for nine out of the 10.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I've thought about it after the fact. It never really occurred to me that, like, some people have told us, like, oh gosh, if I was to make a movie with my significant other, spouse, or whatever, I'd kill them. and we're the complete opposite. I don't think we could be as successful without one another. And it is interesting. It's true. We started out first before we were dating, before we were living together, before we were married. We started out as coworkers first.
Right, coworkers. And did you find that you both had an interest in film? Mm-hmm. Was that one of the things that bonded you before you even started dating? Or was it like the first date you said, I'm a writer. Oh, I'm a writer too. I love film. Or,
I mean, the company that we both met at is a film, you know, production, behind the scenes production company. So that right away was kind of like,
everyone's interested in film, or should be.
Everyone is working there because they're
here for the same reason. We all like to watch movies.
Right. So no one's working that company and having lunch and going, oh, you like film too?
No.
Oh, you have creative aspirations? Like, that's why everyone lives in this city.
But it's making true. Our own films, I feel like, because you were making stuff before I really did, like, you were making
little shorts and
web
series and things like that. Yeah.
And then I think I got into it. I was telling you a short or a feature idea that I had, and Jeremy was like, I want to make that. And I was like, really?
That's right.
And then he was like, write it. I want to make it. And that was Faded. That was our
That's
first
a really
short
big
film.
Deal. The odds of someone saying I have an idea for a film and the other person liking it, that's huge.
It was such an excellent idea that you had. I remember you had a couple more that you would tell me, and I would keep coming back to that one because I was like, man, it's so good. It's so good. It was like fantastic. It's still, you know, we're still working on it.
It's not over yet.
But I mean, how many coworkers have you had in your life who say, I got an idea, and then you hear it and you're like, oh, that's a terrible idea.
That's true.
That was a nice screening process for your relationship.
That does, That happens
equally,
quite a lot.
That you're both talented.
Yeah. Usually you're right. You hear ideas and you're like, that's pretty good. Or something like that. Yeah, you don't go, oh, we're all in.
And return to it and say, that idea of yours, like, flesh it out.
On coming back to it. I remember that, because it was cool.
So was it just naturally growing? Like the personal and work relationship just both evolved just very naturally?
Gosh, I think never really thought about it. I guess so.
It's been a while.
What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think we were together first, and he was doing his own creative stuff, and then we were like, let's do this one together, our last short, and now it's like we don't want to do anything without the
other because
one.
Sarah was such a fantastic writer too. I mean, she really is. Even at work, you know, again going back to that, because it was interesting, we started out as coworkers first. At work, like, Sarah's like just a fabulous writer. Like, she always was, even there.
She's shaking her head
with
humility.
Yeah,
but humility is a good
thing. I mean, really good. So, even at work, that was always like her strong suit and still continues to be. Like, you know, people really value that in you. And so, yeah, so I guess it did just, you know, a natural thing that she was such a great writer anyway, and then had this great idea anyway. And at that time, I was starting to get a little bit more, I guess, ready to get a little bit more serious about filmmaking. And yeah, it kind of worked out great, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually, were you both film school graduate types, or?
I went to Boston University. I did the film television program there, yeah.
I was not, Jeff. I was an actor. Nope. I was probably an actor for, that was, it's true, yeah. I was an actor for many, many years. I was an actor all through my teen years up into my early 20s. And pretty, you know, some moderate success. So that was really my background. Yeah, that was my film school.
I've met a lot of filmmakers who started in acting.
Tons.
And found that their artistic vision just lent itself to, like, I want to be more involved in the creation than just the, not the last step, but
yeah.
But
oh,
then being,
absolutely.
Then being one of the filmmaker's tools, I want to be holding the toolkit.
Yes.
Not
oh,
being
yeah.
in the toolkit.
Oh, yeah. It was, since I was pretty young, because I was acting when I was a teenager, and, you know, I was on set a lot, and that's really when I got to see, like, oh, wow, like, you know, because I'm from San Diego, my parents were not in the film industry, knew no one in the film industry, but we loved movies, and I remember I would watch movies and see credits and stuff, but I didn't know what any of it meant. I didn't know what a director or a producer or, you know, kind of like very vague ideas, but you could see the actors. So I was like, oh, an actor, that's what I got to do. And then it was once I was finally actually doing that, I was like, oh, no, wait a second. There's, I finally understand.
But
yeah.
You did act for years.
Yes,
for,
I did.
For quite
yeah,
a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I acted for
It sounds like almost a decade.
Yeah, maybe even a little bit more. A little bit more. And it was great. I loved acting. But it was interesting once I was on set and I was doing it that I started to see everybody else. And I was like, oh, my God, there's so much more to this than just an actor. And all, you know, my whole life or growing up, whatever, I'd only seen the actors. And so that's just kind of all my brain, I guess, thought about.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually, yeah, it was once I was working there, I was able to see, oh, man, there's so much more to this. And there's so many other jobs, and especially that job. I think that's really cool.
I like the one in charge.
It wasn't even that. It was just more like, wow, this guy, you know, these people are the ones who are making the movies that I really like.
The creators.
Yeah. I was like, oh, wow. So there's actors and there's camera guys and there's grip guys and there's, you know, sound and there's costume department and there's all these different things. But there was this one person who could make it all come together. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, man, that's the coolest. That's even better than an actor. That's the,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was my background.
Cool. That, a nice balance for a partnership.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never really thought about that.
Yeah. Also the graduate and then the practical really.
Yeah. Experience. Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
Cool. So Faded was the first collaboration or?
Yeah.
That was our first together. That was, and before that I'd been making some like little music videos and some web series and stuff like that. And, you know, it had been growing, you know, and it had been getting bigger and everything had been getting more, you know, a little more complicated and a little heavier logistic planning. And Sarah sort of started helping.
Yeah.
You know.
It helped a little. But, yeah, Faded was the first one that was, like, true ownership where
yeah.
I didn't sleep for...
That was the partnership.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was.
So you were helping out earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
And then for Faded, it was the full. Were you technically producer?
Oh yeah, writer and producer.
Writer,
yeah.
Producer,
yeah.
And producer.
I had no idea what I was doing.
So as producer, yeah. Really, you're his boss. You're the director's boss.
Mm,
yeah.
Yeah.
In work and life. No, I'm kidding.
Pretty good boss. Pretty good boss. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It was good. It was a good. It's a good. We'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Or you can watch it on iTunes. It's on iTunes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll send it to you.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, that was our first, like, real collaboration, I think, as partners.
Yeah.
And then this one, and now the next one, and the next, you know, the next few.
Right.
It's good. We have a good balance, I think, because we think about things so differently, but the same. It's weird. Like, I'll look at things in a different way, but we'll come to the same conclusion, kind of, you know? Like, yeah. I feel like
could,
I have
we
a...
We could talk it out.
Yeah. I'm sometimes more practical, I guess.
Maybe, yeah.
But it's such a great collaboration because you have collaborative spirits.
Yeah.
So it's not, true, no, yeah. I don't hear any of the, well, I need my vision in this. Mm-hmm. Like, you both understand that it's about something bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, serving the story.
Yeah, truly is. Yeah. I think, yeah, you can't be, you know, I guess I don't like it when directors or anybody really is too self-involved about their vision. I think that's like a little like...
Especially in film, it's such a collaborative media. Like, you have to take it. It's everyone else's...
Yeah, this is putting yourself above... Putting yourself above the movie shouldn't ever happen.
Yeah.
It should always be about the movie more than anything, more than any one person, you know?
Yeah. So in your constant collaboration, in just your life of collaboration together... So your dad wrote the story for Faces.
He did, yeah.
And then so you were just having dinner or lunch together. And so my dad wrote the story, I think, would make a good short. Or, like, is she your first pitch?
Almost. No, I think it's... So we had finished our last film, Faded, and we had done the festivals with that. And, you know, we had that picked up by a shorts distributor. And we'd had, you know, we'd had a good run with it. And... We were feeling pretty good, and we didn't want to jump right into the feature world. I remember I was like, I want to do one more of these big shorts, just to sort of like get my confidence level up and just feel a little bit, you know, I don't know, just a little bit more solid footing before jumping into a feature. And we were looking for something to do, and we were tossing around ideas. And I remember my dad had this story, and you really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
You read it.
Yeah.
And Sarah was the one who was pushing for this.
Yeah. I remember. We were talking about a couple other ideas, and I just was like, you know, none of these are sparking me as much as The Faceless Man. Like, it just...
Yeah, you'd really liked
so
it.
So memorable and
so,
unusual.
So you responded to your father-in-law's material.
Yeah, I mean, he did too. But it was just... It was one of those that was like... You know, if we can figure out how to do this, like, it'll be pretty incredible.
I think that was the trick, because I read it and I was like, wow, I've never seen anything like this. And I was like, man, I don't know how we do this. And so I think I showed it to Sarah, sort of like, if Sarah can figure it out, or so, you know what I mean? Like, she'll tell me if this is possible, or I'm just, you know... Just totally crazy here. But then, yeah, you really liked it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you wanted to do it.
So you both recognized it as something special.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, yeah. That was pretty, you know.
And something that'll catch the eye of anyone at a film festival or at a production company.
Yeah.
They'll see that and go, okay, there's a vision here.
Yeah, yeah. I'd literally never seen anything where a man had, you know, woken up with this insane transformation. I mean, I guess the closest we talked about it a lot when we were adapting it would be The Metamorphosis. That was something that was like a real touchstone for us. Like, you know, what other story has a guy who just, and there were a lot of similarities. Like, it just picks up from him literally waking up.
Yeah. No explanation.
There's no, just... you know, there's no.
Yeah. You don't see him the night before when he has a face.
No, not at all. Not at all. It was
him being
very
the,
similar.
The manifestation of like,
how
he's
feels.
Feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. And also just the way that people were reacting to him. It wasn't in the Metamorphosis, as I remember, it was people were a little more shocked.
But still not like,
not that much, you know, it wasn't like, not that much.
Yeah.
You know? They were still dealing with him.
Right.
Just like in
not
Faces.
Running away screaming.
Yeah.
And there was such a, unique tone to the short story that I really loved. Like, it had a lot of, you know, comedy which was, you know, it was an unusual, and it was first person too. So you were in his head and kind of discovering it with him as he went along. And I loved that too, just that evolution of the character and yeah, the kind of like offbeat comedy.
And then of course the man with the mirror and people revealing their inner narratives and that somehow means something to him.
Yeah, because we even don't know what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they're speaking to him like he's not a guy with a mirror on his face. They're just speaking to their inner selves.
To themselves, yeah.
Through him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very...
And that was in the story, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's... I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Some fun themes to play with there, yeah. too. Yeah.
Sarah and I really like the... I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
That's kind of our...
Yeah.
That's kind of our go-to.
We like to challenge ourselves.
that's important.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Whether it's a feature or a short,
yeah.
You know, being able to say, besides being able to say, no one who was at that film festival in Sherman Oaks last year would not know what I'm talking about if I mention, you know, The Faceless Man.
Yeah.
Like, they'll remember the film. Yeah. They'll remember, you know, that it was the guy who woke up with a mirror
with
for
a mirror
face.
For 6 hours. We get it a lot. We get it a lot.
But that's important. Just like, you know, just like Shape of Water.
Right.
Yeah.
Which won Best Picture last night. It's pretty easy to describe that film to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. It's interesting because when we saw Shape of Water too, I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of, you know, just the whole makeup process and just
the fantasy aspect.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I know. I really feel in line with this movie in some way. I was like,
We always call The Faceless Man an offbeat fable.
Yeah,
and you know,
kind of fable. Like,
yeah.
That was actually my reaction to Shape of Water when I was talking to the theater. Yeah. I was like, wow, a fantasy film for adults.
Yeah, adult fairy tale. Yeah.
Which is kind of what we did.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, you know, when we saw it, I remember we left the theater and I was like, yeah, just felt very in line with what he's, at least Guillermo del Toro is doing. It's like, oh yeah, okay, there's, I guess it gave us hope that like, there might be a place for us in this, movie making world. Like,
you're questioning, we like original things.
Yeah.
And maybe no one wants original things anymore.
Original.
But they do.
A little weird, you know, like some
and a little
like,
weird,
yeah.
but ultimately quirky. Very heartwarming.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, that's.
You can be offbeat without being off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
You can,
yeah.
And he certainly proved it.
It was encouraging, yeah.
So, yeah. That was a good one.
So then Faceless, so you made Faceless together, and I know from the festival all the technical difficulties you guys went through and all the, but I still think you made great choices, you know, to use a real mirror instead of green and being digital and to put all that weight on your lead actor, Billy, of being a cameraman pointing his face like a...
Yeah, he was incredible.
But I think it all comes out... I think it all makes it a more organic experience for a viewer.
Yeah. No, we thought so too. I mean, because we went back and forth on that a lot. We were like, should we, like, you know, I think your first gut instinct was to do visual effects, right?
I was racking my brain on how to do it because, again, when we read it and we liked it and we decided we wanted to do it, the biggest question was like, how the heck are we going to pull this off? Like, there's just, we didn't know. And I was thinking of having our actor wear almost a chrome Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer kind of nose that a digital compositor would then be able to take and split out to see the reflection and how the light was hitting.
I'm sure it could be done that way.
I think it could. And I actually was like, well, that's probably the best way to do it. But that would just be...
Yeah, we'd be talking about this movie in 10 years.
Well, but also, I actually think you would have lost a lot of immediacy between him and the other actors.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden you'd have to tell actors, okay, you're seeing your reflection.
Yeah.
You and know, just the real
not
thing...
Not that actors can't do that.
No,
the real thing is never, you know, even now, I think, still, that's why that Shape of Water is so successful. I think it's a real person in that suit.
Yeah,
and
that's a man.
You know, practical effects are, there's something to them that just...
Yeah, they're coming back, too.
Absolutely.
I think the pendulum swung so far the other way
that
now people are you know, it's craving swinging back and mm-hmm. people really like it.
Actually, I think I read that George Lucas visited The Last Jedi set or whatever, and they showed him all the models, and he's like, why are you using models?
Yeah.
They're like, because we want to have the feel of the original. And Lucas is like, that's a terrible decision. But of course, that's why his movies aren't good anymore, and theirs are better, because, there's some realness.
Yeah.
We don't need totally any artificialness in our lives.
Yeah.
So, and it was good. It was, it was a real challenge, and I'm glad we did it practically, too, because we learned so much, about working with makeup.
Yeah.
With heavy prosthetic makeup and just practical stuff and just the build time and, you know, collaborating with makeup artists and what's possible and what's not possible. And
it was a very, very interesting process for sure.
Big learning curve.
But that's actually a skill that I would expect could pay off. I mean, there is an Oscar category for this kind of makeup.
Yeah.
And Lord knows if film festivals were in the habit of giving a prize for makeup, I don't think there's a film fest. You would have dominated. You would have won. You would be batting 1,000.
Yeah, I think, I think we went to one that did, and we actually didn't win, but this was a complete genre festival. So there was some wild stuff. I mean, people were really...
Like fantasy sci-fi stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah, we were definitely nominated. I mean,
so you lost to a human unicorn hybrid.
Yeah. Some crazy, I can't even remember now. I think the whole movie might have been populated with characters like that. I mean, it was,
Yeah, I guess I wasn't thinking of that kind of film.
They're out there. Yeah, we went to, I mean, we've seen a lot of shorts this year.
It's interesting too, like the... People ask what genre our film is, and it's always hard to categorize it. But we did submit to some genre ones because it's a, weird, offbeat fantasy.
Well, it is a compliment to you that it's hard to define. But I would almost—it's almost comedy.
That's what I say.
I mean, it is dramatic as well, but it leaves. I think comedy. We give that label to things that make us feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, whereas a drama makes you feel bad, but in a good way. But I almost think you made a comedy.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's been one of our favorite things about it. It's true. It's been a little tough to kind of pin it down into a specific genre, but we kind of like that. You know, it's been called a drama. It's been called a comedy. It's been called a fantasy. And it's all of those things.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're happy with that, you know. All of our stuff is kind of...
It's kind of all like that.
You're being sophisticated artists instead of knowing that, like, I make bromance movies about boys in high school, and it's just straight-up gross sex comedy. You're giving yourselves the challenge of being sophisticated adults... But how could you sleep at night otherwise, right?
I agree. I think we're all in. Yeah. On the dramatic comedy, maybe, is what a lot of people, you know. I know dramedy is maybe not everyone's favorite word anymore, but dramatic comedy.
We like heart. We like our stories to have heart to them.
A lot of heart.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's obviously, I guess because the Oscars are fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
But I mean, Lady Bird, Three Billboards... All of them had laughs and serious moments. And
totally did,
If you hit that right, it's like the best.
It's super rewarding, I think, for audiences. And the audience reaction to Faceless Man has been fantastic. I mean, everyone is very... I mean, people are shocked when we tell them it's real.
Yeah.
That's the first kind of... You see their eyes glaze over as they, like, replay it in their head. They're like, well, wait a second, yeah, I guess that was probably real. But also, a lot of people have been responding to the heart.
Yeah. And the comedy. Like, I love watching it with an audience and seeing what people laugh at. Like, where what gets a big, you know,
yeah, everybody's always, some audiences are different than others. And
yeah, some people, when it first starts, you can tell they're just like, what am I watching?
Yeah.
Like, it takes a little while to get into it and figure out what it is. Usually around the little boy. There's a laugh there, and people are like, oh, okay, I can laugh.
Yeah,
right. Okay, he says laugh. You're yeah. weird or whatever.
Yeah, well, he drops yeah. the ball yeah. and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
That's true. You start off with a really funny moment where the kid makes faces.
Yeah. And that actually wasn't in the short story. We added
that wasn't. Yeah.
Because we wanted a little, like, innocent, innocuous sort of moment that where you didn't quite know what was going on yet with his, yeah. with his face and yeah. how people are responding to it. So we added
and just
that.
A little and, something levity, yeah. some funny yeah. right up front.
Well, mm-hmm. yeah, because this, you were doing the visual interpretation of this story. Yes. So, yeah. yeah, you don't need that moment in the short story, mm-hmm. but you sure as heck need it in the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We changed just a few little things, too, now thinking about that adaptation. And we changed the end.
Yeah.
That was probably the most significant thing that we did is that, you know, obviously the story, it's, you know, story is not a film, and the story, the ending was much more ambiguous.
Well, I think the wife came back. I one of the things I liked about the short story too, and that we did in the film, was the wife came back and had no idea what happened. He went on this whole crazy adventure and she was like none the wiser. And that was in the story, but he didn't have quite as much of an arc and a
resolution.
Appreciating her and saying that and all that.
So that's something we did that too. But those were kind of the only two big...
Because he had it in his head, but not to her. You know, and not... He vocalizes it.
Like a
film.
Big physical reveal.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah, no.
I think you two are biased because you have a healthy relationship. So you finish the film with a really sweet moment of... You can see that this is a healthy relationship that they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe the night before had been actually really rough. With what's going on with them.
Yeah.
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 A good partnership. Yeah, I think for a while, like, the backstory we tried to layer in was that, you know, they've been struggling and he's out of work and she's kind of supporting them and yeah. you know, it'd been a long time coming for him to have this sort of realization. And
it's, yeah, that's true. Yeah. We did really want to make it a good relationship. In fact, we had a lot of maybe feedback towards the beginning of the process, like, oh, make it, you know, make the wife hate him more or make
more
her
bitchy, yeah.
a little more yeah. bitchy or a little more. And it was like, that's definitely it would have been maybe a little bit easier for people to understand what was going on. But I don't think that's necessarily the reality of people who have been married for a long time. That, you know, there are ups and downs and sometimes one person is stronger than the other person. One person is holding the other person up a bit, and we wanted
we definitely have gone through that with our part filmmaking partnership.
But yeah, we wanted to show that, and that's a little more complicated, and not as quite as easy to just see immediately. Oh, she's the put upon wife who doesn't like him, and he's the, you know, ungrateful schlub of a husband.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, there you go with your instincts about being original too, and you just yeah. that other way would have been very pat,
mm-hmm.
very pat. Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't seem like the people who want to let's make a pat film that people see before. Let's use the standard casting, you know, central casting version of the unhappy couple.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
No,
yeah. We had a lot of pushback to do that.
Yeah, we stuck to our guns with that one.
Yeah, yeah. It was good. And I'm happy we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the nicest compliments we got after screening the film, someone came over to us and was like, I went outside and called my wife and thanked her because, you know, I've been away for a while and everything. And, like, it was just so nice that he got such, like, an emotional reaction out of that. Like,
yeah.
You know.
No,
I think
that was great.
People
yeah.
are surprised by the emotion that you get when watching it, too.
Like, yeah, that seems to be one of the biggest things, too, is that people are really, you know, they didn't expect that at all. The kind of, like, emotional to, you know, to hit them that way.
Yeah, after going on this weird adventure.
Yeah, which is what we like, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I just had a realization about your film, which is, bear with me, that it actually does represent filmmaking in a way, because when people watch a film... They see themselves reflected in it.
It's true. Yeah.
And so that's what they take home. So your film is actually something that people watch and they see a thing about people seeing their reflections and reacting to themselves. People watch your film and they have that same experience that the people in there have.
That's interesting, yeah.
I didn't catch that, but this is where we could almost get film professory with this film.
Yeah, your projections.
That your audience is having the experience of the people who are looking into his face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or his not-a-face.
His, yeah. His
there you go.
Wow, that's, yeah.
Mirrored
that's
visage.
There are going to be film school classes out on
the on face of Pan. Good. Great. It's going to happen. Yeah. We'll go and talk. And
we'll do it at UCLA yeah. Annex. We'll, you know, everyone who says I go to UCLA Film School, but it's really the Annex, that's what we'll nice. Do it right there.
All right. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, we've had a great reaction from people. Yeah. People are... They like it, yeah.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It's been nice.
It's nice to know that when you make a good film, you yeah, get a good yeah. reaction, you know?
It is. Yeah. That's, yeah. It's great. It's great to be like, oh, yeah, thank you. You really liked it, yeah. yeah.
So has that boosted you for the next thing? Do you feel...
Yeah. What do you think?
Okay, so you're too humble to think I kick ass and yeah. we kick ass yeah. and we're gonna take on the world with the next
no,
one because we know what we're doing.
Both this film and our last film both kind of are like high concept offbeat ideas mm-hmm. and our mm-hmm. next the feature that we have written and are trying to develop right now is also a kind of in that genre, so yeah. it gives us confidence that we can execute it and pull it off, you know, like yes. prove to people that we could pull this weird concept off.
Yes.
So I guess in that way.
We just don't make anything easy on ourselves. It's difficult. It's,
But like you said, it's like, what? We can't go the easy way.
Yeah,
why?
But high concept also means original.
Yeah.
And in challenging, and yeah, that's, again, just like people can remember this film that they saw at a festival, I'm sure your high concept, which I don't know, people who read the script... But within a production company or something, and say, you know, the one with, you yeah. know, the sheep that explodes.
Yeah.
Oh, that is very true. And that is a lot of the reaction and feedback we're getting is that it is very, you know, it's delightfully odd. It's very memorable.
Original.
It's
yeah.
very original.
I just need someone to take the chance.
And it is. It's kooky. It's kooky, but yeah. it does have that beating heart at the center of it. So, no, it's true. Like, in a filmmaking sense, to make the film that we want to make, that is not the, I guess, struggle that we're going to have. It's finding partners to...
Partners and finance. Yes. That world.
To mm-hmm. believe in this kooky little idea that we have.
Yeah.
That will be the challenge. But
I think those, both of our shorts help that cause.
Correct.
In...
Yeah.
in
Hopefully. I think so.
That's the goal, at least.
You certainly have proof. You certainly have... If yeah. anyone likes the project and they want to see what else you've done...
Yes.
You can show them two great things.
Right, yes. Yeah. We feel great about that. That has been a very... That is something that we feel confident with. That we can be like, okay, look at these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like
and
this.
You're not in the situation that I know people that are in where they show something and they go, look at this and imagine what I could do if I had
mm-hmm.
resources.
That is
you
true.
Made something that is... great on its own terms.
That is true.
You know, no one watches Faceless Man and goes, oh, if only they'd had.
Right, right.
You know.
Digital effects.
It's everything it needs to be.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, we feel... It's true, yes. Thank you. We do feel very good that we have two other things that we can sort of rely on to show our style and our tone and everything like that. So, yeah, we're just on to the next guy. Trying to get this next one ready.
Which, Lord knows, is that it is, but it's a testament to, I'm in your corner.
Yes, thank you.
And
thank
I'm rooting for it to happen. And Lord knows, that's, you know, if it were easy, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. That's tough and.
It's fun, though. It's fun. Like, I like writing more than. He begrudgingly does it. Seriously? But he's very good
well,
at
actually,
it.
And you have the discipline for editing, right? You had to step away for the edit.
I did.
And Sarah took care of it.
Yeah, on this one in particular, Faceless Man was really, you know, it was a challenge for me. It really was. There was, you know, every single shot was a challenge, which is different than, you know, a lot of other times you're shooting stuff and you know... what shots and what sequences are going to be tricky and you're going to burn up a lot of time and you know which ones are going to be easy and you're going to be able to save time. You know, two guys sitting at a diner table, you're like, oh, we're going to We're going to zip through that one.
Yeah, yeah. Do the establishing. Yeah. Boom, this boom, coverage, boom. This coverage, give me an over the shoulder. Yeah. And then you break for lunch.
Exactly, exactly. On this one, that was just not the case. There was literally no shot that I was like, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk. Everything was tricky. And so, you know, in the edit, I would just see the mistakes and the
watching
things
the
that
dailies
I was like,
oh,
I could have just fixed that if I just would have done this or that. So yeah, I had to step away and Sarah had to take care of this one.
Which editing this was weird because, you know, a lot of the scene or a lot of the movie is, you know, dialogue scenes, like people talking to the faceless man and, you know, normally when you're editing something, you have one person's side of the coverage and the other side, like you were just saying. But with this, it was literally the actor's face and a reflection of the actor's face. And cutting between them was really hard.
Yeah,
like, you
difficult.
Couldn't cheat. You couldn't slip dialogue like you normally would. Mm-mm. If their face was different between the two, you couldn't put the two takes
right.
together.
Right.
Like, that was challenging. You had to, you know, and... Oh, some of them we had planned on letting them go, like, as one long
mm-hmm,
take. Like,
mm-hmm.
that was always the intention.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was challenging. Especially when it was like, oh, I can't use that one. There's a little bit of camera in the reflection.
No,
or, like...
It was tough. You did... Sarah did an incredible job, though, because another thing that made this one different than all the previous stuff was that, you know, usually it's like you have whatever... 5 good takes, let's say, and the 2 kind of not so good ones. This time you had 6 not so good ones and the 1 that actually would work. And not just for like performance, but like technical reasons. Like you would catch C-stands or, you know, operator's hands or, you know, just you literally couldn't.
Yeah, that mirror was a grenade on screen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
would just blow up at the wrong times and
yeah.
just show you what you
anything.
Want to
see. Anything. Yeah, yeah. So it was like
and
really.
That's something you could have, yeah, if you had unlimited budget, then you just go in and
yes,
fix,
yeah.
fix it in post,
fix
which
it
means
in post.
Spend tons of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, too, because you had the advantage that obviously all of O'Leary's dialogue was ADR.
Mm-hmm.
It, yeah.
So you had total freedom of all, you could change his dialogue.
It's
yeah.
true.
Add
yeah.
an item.
And we
and
did.
We did. Yeah.
We, did
we added some
and we tweaked it.
We
and
worked
we...
with Billy and he came over a couple times and we recorded like scratch to get the pacing of the cut down. And
yeah.
But it was nice. It was nice to have that luxury.
Yes. I will say Billy was, man, he is the biggest, he's the MVP for this whole thing. Just, you know, an actor in a short film, you think somebody who just shows up for the weekend and does their thing. But Billy was, he had to be in from the beginning. I mean, the build.
Of the mask, yeah.
Before we could even go into pre-production. And then once we were through production, which was very, very hard on him. Just, you know, 3 hours a day, you know, 100 degree weather, very uncomfortable.
Weekend,
yeah. And then in post-production, it was an extreme, you know, a long post-production process because, of course, we did have to record his dialogue. And so he came over to our apartment for like 2 or 3 sessions, I think. And just like this, we recorded scratch track. And then we had to go into the booth, into, you know, an actual ADR booth and do it a couple of more times.
Yeah.
Billy was,
he was
a soldier
for
a long time.
Long
yeah.
process.
And he never gave you a hard time. He was
well. I wouldn't say that.
Well, but still,
he's a
rascal. He was always
he had fun with you. But
yeah,
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 it is admirable that he cares enough about the art. And
yeah.
he
was dedicated.
For
he was
those
amazing.
Who, if
yeah.
you watch the film and you see the end, you'll know his face. He's a very well known actor.
He
he's
is.
A character
he's
actor who everybody has seen 100 times.
Totally,
yeah.
totally
yeah.
prolific.
And yet not jaded, not like...
No, no.
Not...
He was our partner. I mean,
yeah.
really, in this movie, it was me, Sarah, and Billy.
Yeah.
And our cinematographer,
beginning.
Will,
mm-hmm.
that were
yeah.
like the team that made
mm-hmm.
this movie, really.
And
it was
he
four
really
of us.
Loved, he really connected to the story, too.
Oh,
really.
My God. That was
I mean,
amazing.
There's unestablished actors who would call bullshit and say, I'm out of this. You,
oh.
you got to finish up without me.
Yeah.
I mean, it
yeah.
was... You know,
and
it was my great fear.
Yeah.
That might happen.
Yeah, I remember at the
say,
festival,
yeah.
you were like, you tried to talk him out of it.
I
yeah.
almost did in a weird way. Like, I tried to be very, he'll tell you something different. He says, I didn't. I totally did not do that. I called BS on him for that one. I really was very, very brutally honest. Yeah. Because my biggest fear was that he would show up and go like, whoa, wait a second. This isn't what I signed up for. And he never even came close to saying something like that. I mean, he really was dedicated 110%.
Yeah, we were all more worried about him than he was about himself, I think. We were all like, Billy, are you okay?
No, he's a tough guy.
He's a pro.
Yeah, he is.
He was in it.
He's a tough character, that Billy.
It really is admirable, and it's wonderful that you found someone.
I can't believe it.
We wouldn't have been able to do it.
No.
We talked about that. We were like, if we can find the actor who's crazy enough to do this with us.
And if we can figure out this makeup process. Yeah. Two things.
Yeah.
That made this movie possible. Yeah. This short film.
If he had someone whose body matched his, he could have done the ending and the voice.
So, Jeff, that was, seriously, as, again, this whole pre-production, you know, just me and Sarah, like, thinking about how we're going to do this, that was an idea.
Yeah.
That, like, can we find a body double to be the guy in the mask, and can we just get an actor for 2 days who can do the beginning of the movie and the end of the movie?
Yeah.
And we actually asked some friends who work in casting, like, is this even possible? And even they were like, yeah, I would recommend not doing that. You know.
Because people will get a feel that it's different when that body's different.
I can't even remember. This was a while ago. I mean, this was really early on when we were thinking about all this stuff. Because that was a big concern. Like, who are we going to get?
I think getting people to commit to a short film is tough.
Yeah, and then just coordinating two people's schedules, I think we got to get the body double, and we got to get the actor who matches them, we got to get two sets of wardrobe, and we got to get,
hair to match, probably got to make a wig.
Yeah, it was just logistically, it was like, oh,
well, that's
boy.
Right, the hair is there. Yeah.
The hair and the skin and just, everything, like, you would tell it's
but we like it. Also, Billy's like a great body actor. Like he's amazing.
Yeah, he's performing the entire time.
Yeah,
so the idea is actually terrible.
And he did such a good job at that.
Been, because Billy's a highly trained, highly skilled actor, and he is himself an acting coach, which is how we got hooked up with him. He's my sister.
she goes to his studio.
His very successful acting studio. Billy O'Leary Studios. Anyone listening?
William O'Leary. I think he pushes himself because he's William.
Oh, William. His studio might be Billy O'Leary Studios. Yeah.
I believe you.
Yeah. Look it up.
But that's an actor who's it shows you something about him because he's a successful actor with a long career who still cares about teaching the next generation and being involved with other people.
He's really good.
There's a lot of actors that just stay at home and enjoy their pools.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. No, he loves it.
He loves the
craft.
I couldn't see him doing anything else ever. He's 100% actor. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, couldn't have done it without him.
No way.
Well, I'm curious with your next thing, which, I don't know, is that expanding Faded, or is it a new script?
It's a new one.
Okay.
We are trying to expand our short film Faded, which was kind of our proof of concept. It's so popular for people to do that with shorts now. I've got this theory that we've been seeing so many shorts over the last 2 years with ours. I would say like 80% of short films, 75% of short films, I feel like are proof of concepts.
Yeah. That was my question this next project, are you tempted to just do a 5 minute, pull 5 minutes out of it and shoot it for a proof of concept since it's so high concept?
Yeah.
Maybe.
We could maybe do like the first.
That's not a bad idea.
First 10 minutes, yeah.
No, really. I mean,
it's funny because it didn't happen at the last film festival, but there's been quite a few film festivals that I've programmed where every Q&A is, well, so tell us what happens next, because it's just a setup.
Mm-hmm. It
really
is.
It's a compelling setup.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a little bit of a hint of a third act to that setup, but normally it's just like, you've established a character, now I want to know what happens to that character.
Right, yeah.
I would say 75 to 80%, I feel like, are proof of concept films. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what our last one was, and that's why
we did a full story in our proof of concept.
We did, yeah. It's a long proof of concept, yeah.
But if you have something so original, maybe you just have to show people.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. It's an idea.
We'll see. Yeah. If we don't have any luck.
We could just shoot a...
Yeah. No, do it the hard way first. Because now, you know, there's supposed to be people in this town, right? There's
don't want that.
Film producers are supposed to be able to read a script and envision it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are? Yeah, I mean, they are.
Well, they're supposed to pay someone to read it and tell them there's a vision.
Write coverage about the script. Yeah. No, it's an idea. We haven't maybe gotten that far along yet.
Yeah.
Thinking that way, but that's an idea.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
There's which a million of them. A million ideas.
Why we wanted to do Faceless. We did the proof of concept before, and we're just like, well, let's make a short film.
Yeah.
You know?
That is itself.
Beginning, middle, end, short film.
Yeah.
Never
want to make a feature of that.
No. I don't think we could get Billy to come back anyway. Unless we had a lot of money.
Or maybe a body double.
Faceless men, and then have like mirrors facing mirrors facing mirrors.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. I don't know if anybody's quite.
I just made a behind the scenes video about making of. Yeah, it's about like 9 minutes long, but it'll be up on our website if anyone wants to.
Because you also did that, so you cut together the promo video you had before the festival that was the behind-the-scenes vibe but it was just interviewing Billy and whatnot, right?
Yeah, we did, like, a couple short, like, one-minute little behind-the-scenes pieces, little ones, like, marketing ones, but this one goes more into it and shows stuff that we didn't want to show, like, you know.
You've got DVD pre-release extras ready to go.
Exactly, yeah.
They're ready.
That's what we do, so, you know, we're big into the behind-the-scenes.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Our friend, who's an excellent behind-the-scenes producer, and she shot all of it, and it was great to have. It's fun to document, just because there's crazy things that happen that I forgot about. And
now, with some distance, we can look at the footage and not cry. Nice, yeah.
It's true.
But yeah, it's nice to have that. Remember. Yeah. Goes by so fast.
It does. It certainly does, especially.
Yeah, the production is a blink, and then the post is a marathon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It really was, yeah. On this one especially, the post on this one was a pretty involved process.
And we worked on the music for a while, too, because the
music,
the tone of the music had to really communicate the tone
for us.
Had to
be just right, because, I mean, it was
get that levity.
Kind of already a kooky story, so, we needed to get the music to work, and just everything had to come together. But it really did.
Without music, it wouldn't be a film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So important, yeah.
No, that was wonderful. Yeah. It all came together.
Yeah.
How cute and cool are those two? I got to tell you, that was a really fun conversation for me. I mean, just about all the conversations on this podcast are fun to record, but for some reason, I just like those two. They're super likable. No wonder their film is likable. And talking about their film, go to discoveringdofilm.com and watch The Faceless Man right now. And after you watch The Faceless Man, there's a lot of other great shorts for you to watch there, and there's links to great feature films you can watch. And you can learn about the Sherman Oaks Film Festival that's in November, or Film Invasion LA that comes up in June. You can learn all about awesome indie films at discoverindiefilm.com. All right. Thanks for listening.